I love Sam. He lived with us and traveled with me. I had the privilege of helping mentor him earlier on in his life, and he's doing a great job. Thank you so much for this weekend. Thank you, Pastor. And thank you for your love and your generosity, and thank you for your example to this whole community of how much you love God. All the music, it's just fantastic. Thank every one of you for your ministry. I was telling Pastor, I went up there Friday night and to see the all those people up there that very rarely get recognized. People pick on them if something doesn't go well, but when things go right, nobody says hello. They were praising God and worshiping. And yesterday morning, for them to keep up with me with all the fill in the blanks, and every time I miss a blank, all the melancholics would come running. Did you know you missed a blank? And so, yeah, I knew. But thank you all so very much, and it's been a great time. And I'm glad I got here. It looked bad there for a while. If I caught the flight I was supposed to catch, and that it was iffy that it would even go, I wouldn't have arrived in Saginaw till 7:46 on Friday night. So he said you had to leave, and then I'd have to get everything and get here, and, you know. Are you ready to lift up Jesus?
Yes.
All this music, everything's pointing toward Jesus. I want you to know John 12:32 is the text tonight. John 12:32. And you don't have to turn there unless you just want to. I'm not going to read as much scripture tonight as I normally do. But this one has kind of sets the tone for what I want to talk about. And if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. Lifting up Jesus is important. The psalmist's plea was universal when he said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." If we exalt Jesus, sickness will take flight. I said, if we exalt Jesus, sins will be forgiven. If we exalt Jesus, the Holy Ghost will be outpoured. If we exalt Jesus, those that are bound are going to be set free. If we recognize his worthiness and begin to worship him, it releases a power from heaven to flow through this whole world in our behalf and in the sinner's behalf. So don't wait for your neighbor. Worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's the only thing that will transcend time and can be entered into eternity. That's our worship of Jesus Christ. You can do it bowing, for the Bible says, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down." You can do it kneeling. The Bible says, "Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." You can do it standing, for Scripture says, "My foot standeth in an even place, and in the congregation will I bless the Lord." You can do it with lifted hands, for Scripture says, "Lifting holy hands without wrath and doubting." You can do it by clapping your hands. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. You can do it with your voice. Then was their mouth filled with laughter, and their tongue with singing. And the heathen said, "The Lord hath done great things for them." You can do it with your feet. Let them praise his name in the dance. But whether you do it bowing or kneeling or standing or lifting or clapping or shouting or dancing, the Bible says, "Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King." So I'm saying, we don't have to worry about what the world's doing. We can have our own good time right here. And we get excited about everything else. It's okay to get excited about Jesus. It's okay. Somehow, we just should praise him because he is worthy. He is worthy because of creation. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Listen to this now. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Isaiah says that He sits on the circle of the earth. He's above everything. He's on top of everything. He's worthy to be praised because He is the Creator of heaven and earth. God creates everything. He said, look at the earth beneath you and look at the heavens above you. That ought to make you want to praise me, God says. This 8,000 mile ball that we call planet earth, upon which we are standing and sitting tonight, arched with clouds, is nothing but His footstool. Isaiah says, lift up your eyes on high and behold who has created these things. He says, walk outside and look into the heavens and see the stars and the constellations and the heavens and see if that doesn't make you want to worship God. If that's not true, something's dead in your spirit. There's a star called Antares that's great enough to swallow 64 million suns the size of our own. There's a star called Epsilon, so vast that its diameter is 3,000 times as great as our sun. But the volume is 27 billion times our sun. The closest star to our earth is 26 trillion miles away. The furthest star we can identify is 59 sextrillion miles away. I didn't bring this up. Isaiah said, look up into the heavens and see if that won't make you want to praise Him. Hallelujah. If you take a single sheet of paper, no thicker than this piece of paper in my notebook. If you take a single sheet of paper, if the thickness of that paper represents the distance from the earth to the sun, which is 93 million miles, then the width of the luminous ladder of stars we call the Milky Way would be a stack of paper like this, 310 miles high. I can't wrap my brain around that, can you? If this single sheet of paper represents the distance of 93 million miles, the distance to the edge of the universe would be a stack of paper just like this, 31 million miles high. According to the scientists atop Mount Palomar, looking through the Halley reflector, just in the bowl of the Big Dipper, there are a million galaxies greater than our own. Here's how the Bible said it in Psalm 102:25. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. Verse 26, they shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment, as a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. You know what that tells me? You look up into the heavens, and they'll pass away in a flash of time. Before the world was created, God was not one day younger. And when it will be dissolved by fire, God will not be one day older. He is not made after the law of carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless light. I recommend a God to you tonight who is so eminently worthy of every song that was sung tonight, Leon. Every note of music that was played, orchestra and musicians. Every word of praise, every word of exaltation, everything that was done in this room tonight is worthy because He's worthy of all of our praise. Because when you see the magnitude of His capacity, He is God. Hallelujah. And we are finite and we ought to worship Him. He created the heavens. He created the earth. Look around. He made you Physicists tell us if you want to make a man, you have to have 58 pounds of oxygen, 50 quarts of water, 2 ounces of salt, 3 pounds of calcium, 24 pounds of carbon, chlorine, phosphorus, fat, iron, sulfur, and glycerin. That's what you need to make a man if you're a physicist. But God made a man with a handful of dirt. I think he did a pretty good job. Well, maybe not. I'm just saying. But think the intricacies of the bodies that are sitting in this room. He made you with eyes that have 100 million receptors. He made you with ears that have 24,000 fibers that vibrate to every sound. You're sitting in this room tonight in a body that has 500 muscles, 200 bones, 7 miles of nerve fibers, all synchronized so there's agility and movement. In your chest, there's beating a heart 36 million times a year, pumping 60,000 gallons of blood through 600,000 miles of vessels, veins, and arteries. You're breathing with lungs that are 600 million pockets of folded flesh, so meticulously designed that every time you breathe out, you're expunging gaseous waste out of your body. Through your veins and arteries, there's flowing 5 quarts of blood, facilitated through 22 trillion blood cells. Within each cell, there's millions of molecules. Within each molecule, there's an atom that's oscillating at 10 million times a second. And every second, 2 million of those little atoms die and are replaced. You understand me tonight, ladies and gentlemen. You are literally a walking resurrection. Hallelujah. God is the creator of everyone in this building. It's okay. You can shout a little bit. It's okay if you get excited. That's something to get excited about. Get me a pizza when they answer. I'm sorry, that didn't go there. In your head, most of us, there's 3 pounds of gray matter. Assisted throughout your body with 4 million pain-sensitive structures, 500,000 touch detectors, and 200,000 temperature gauges. If you want a reason to praise God, just pull out your little compact mirror and take a look at yourself. He's worthy. So complex are the bodies that he has made that just a piece of skin the size of a postage stamp has 3 million cells in it, 1 yard of blood vessels and 4 yards of nerves, 100 sweat glands, 15 oil glands, and 25 nerve endings. And he did it all with a handful of dirt. The evolutionists would like for us to believe that these medical marvels that we are just the consequence of blind chance. It would be easier for me to believe that Webster's Unabridged Dictionary was the consequence of an explosion in a printing plant than to believe that. I said he's worthy. He's worthy because of creation. He's not only worthy because of creation, he's worthy because of Calvary. Abraham lumbered up that face of Moriah. It was a torturous climb, particularly at the conclusion of 3 days of travel. His hopes and dreams were bound up in the body of a boy that was with him. That boy was balancing in a bundle of sticks on his head that was to be used for the construction of an altar, and ultimately and subsequently for the fuel for that fire that was going to burn that altar for a burnt sacrifice. Decades of travel, decades of travail were being distilled into this single miserable moment for the patriarch of God. You know the story. The boy asked his father, "Where is the sacrifice?" And Abraham replied, "God will provide a sacrifice." What followed that pronouncement on that mount called Moriah was a testament of scripture filled with rivers of blood and mountains of sacrifice. No matter what they offered, they could not redeem mankind. It could only push sin back, push it forward, push it aside. In Egypt, Israel offered a lamb for every household. and the death angel passed over. But that was not God's ultimate plan. At the door of the tabernacle every morning and every evening, there was a sacrifice made, and sin's penalty was pushed ahead. But heaven looked at it and said, that's not enough. When David was bringing the ark to Jerusalem, he stopped every 6 paces and killed a ram to offer a sacrifice. The glory did come to Jerusalem, but it was still not sufficient to meet God's standard. After a plague had killed 70,000 Jews, a threshing floor was made into an altar and the plague was stayed. But that was still not what God was looking for. When Solomon was made king, he sacrificed 1,000 rams and 1,000 bullocks and 1,000 sheep. And he spilled 12,565 gallons of blood. The Lord said he would magnify Solomon in the eyes of Israel. But the blood shed there was not sufficient when Israel was without a true God, a law, or a teaching priest. Asa offered 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. He spilled 13,640 gallons of blood on that altar. Even though God promised that if they sought after him, he could be found. That blood that they were sacrificing was not enough. Hezekiah restored religion and spilled 10,206 gallons of sacrificial blood, but it was not enough. At Gibeon, Solomon entreated God and emptied 10,835 gallons of blood. At the dedicatorial service of Solomon's temple, they killed 120,000 sheep and they killed 22,000 oxen. They spilled 290,270 gallons of blood. The glory cloud did fill the temple, but that still was not enough. How do I know? Because Hebrews 9:12 says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for all of us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Jesus Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. There were mountains of sacrifice and rivers of blood, but it was the blood of Jesus Christ that was needed to set you free. Hallelujah. And he shed that blood for you. Somebody praise him tonight. He is worthy of everything you give to him in praise. When Jesus died at Calvary,